Good morning, everybody. I really wanted to be here last Saturday, but I got hung up at the Detroit airport on Friday night. I was coming home from Columbus, Ohio, and one plane was delayed. And so my flight from Columbus to Detroit was delayed 2.5 hours, and I missed my flight by about 15 minutes, so I had a chance to spend a wonderful evening at some sweet hotel in Detroit. And you know, traveling is not what it's cracked up to be. And I was not feeling well. And I was praying all this time, Lord, please get me home Friday night. Please get me home Friday night so I can sleep in my own bed and so forth and so on. And it didn't work out that way, so I just accepted it. And you get to bed at 12:15. You got a wake-up call at 5:45 to get to the airport. What amazes me is this, gentlemen. At 6:30 in the morning in Detroit Airport, which is huge, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people at this airport this early. And I'm asking myself, where is everybody going? Doesn't anybody stay home anymore? I just don't know where they're going. But it's just amazing that early in the morning that so many people are up and awake and traveling. I don't get it. I don't get it. But praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning. And as Greg mentioned, we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Ruth. And I have three daughters, and my second daughter, we did name after Ruth. And I like to affectionately call her Ruthie. This book is very, it's an interesting read because it reveals the nature and the heart of Ruth and the heart of Naomi. And I would just like to read from you, if I could, please. I know we're going to study verses 15 through 22, but I just want to start with verse 14. And where this is that Naomi has made the decision to leave Moab and to return to Bethlehem. And now they're saying their last goodbyes between Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, which her name actually means pleasant, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And that's an important point there, which Sandy will cover in the next study. But, you know, our study topic today, gentlemen, is called, when you follow God, you forsake all. And when all is forsaken, you still follow God. And I think it's safe to say that Ruth's position in this statement is that when you follow God, you forsake all. Ruth forsook all when she chose to follow Naomi, and we'll get into more details in a little bit. And when all is forsaken, you will still follow God. And I think that's safe to say that that was Naomi's position in this statement. She had lost her husband, and she had buried her two sons. And of all the notable and prominent women in the Bible, Ruth would certainly be categorized and be included in this special group of women. Verse 16 describes Ruth as a woman of constancy, of filial love, if I'm pronouncing that correct. Phileo love, thank you. Phileo love and piety. In the book of Ruth is a beautiful story. Some even consider it a literary gem. It is only one of the two books in the Bible, gentlemen, in which a woman is the principal character. Ruth is a Moabite who married a Hebrew husband. Can someone here give me the name of the second book in the Bible in which... Esther, who was the first one to say that? Irv, you've just won yourself a free donut. Congratulations. That is correct, the book of Esther. Esther was a Jew who ultimately married a Gentile king. The author of the book of Ruth is unknown, but some people say that perhaps it was Samuel, who was the last of the judges. And the book of Ruth is indeed written in the time of the judges, when Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. And this was written around perhaps 1322 BC. The subject of the book of Ruth is how a young Moabite woman's life was enriched by her beautiful constancy and her wise choice that she made. And the main purpose in this book is to show how a Gentile woman became one of the ancestors of Christ. Boaz and Ruth begat Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse became the father of King David. Ruth was King David's great-grandmother. So obviously she was a direct ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. The historical analysis consists of six different areas. The first one is the sojourn or the journey into Moab, which Greg spoke about previously. And the second analysis is the sad return home, when Naomi made the decision to leave Moab and to return to Bethlehem, which Chris covered last week, and that I'll be concluding today through this study. And then the other four areas will be addressed in future studies of this book. Ruth is described as a woman of constancy or an allegiance. She was very steadfast in her desire to live with Naomi. You know, Ruth did not need a lot of time to think about it. She did not ask Naomi to go home to be with her family so she could pray about it or dwell about it or ponder it. She was very steadfast. She was very secure. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. She also had a phileo love, a respect, relating to or a characteristic of or befitting a parent or parental guidance. Some of these related words are adoring, affectionate, daughter-like, faithful, fondness, loving, sentimental, soft, and tender. And I think those describe Ruth very, very well. Piety, thank you. Sorry about that, guys. Piety, a reverence of the supreme being in the love of his character. Loving obedience to the will of God and earnest devotion to his service. Affectionate reverence and service shown toward parents, relatives, benefactors, etc. Some other words that would describe piety are affection, dedication, devotion, faithfulness, godliness, grace, holiness, respect, and zeal. And it's safe to say that Ruth's life and character are displayed and lived out in these areas which describe her so very well. All of these wonderful areas are highly evident in Ruth's life, which is directly reflective of the attitude of her heart. Ruth had a very, very merciful heart, and she was a woman of outstanding and godly character. She loved Naomi so very, very much that she was willing to forsake all to be with her. Orpah as well was a woman of character, just not quite the character that Ruth was. You know, the Bible really doesn't tell us much about Ruth's family, does it? We don't know about what she left behind in Moab to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. Were her parents still alive? Were her mother and father still alive? Did she have brothers and sisters that she left behind? you know, extended family members, loved ones, friends that she grew up with as a little child. She had a support system in place if she chose to stay to help a young widow to move on with it and live a productive life. But she forsook all of that, left all of that behind to go with Naomi. And as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, boy, Dan, would you be willing to make such a decision? Would you be willing to make that tough choice to forsake all of that support system that we all have in our own individual lives and to leave it all and to go and to be a foreigner in a foreign land where we knew no one other than the one individual we were traveling with? And I think today we have some modern day Naomis, if you will, missionaries who leave their family members, who leave their support systems and go out into the front lines and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've had them here ourselves at Faith Walkers. Ruth demonstrates great faith when she follows Naomi, a beginner's faith, if you will. She's just starting out. She gives it all up: family, friends, security, comfort, her nation, her people, her culture, a future husband perhaps, even her own family. This is not a prosperity message that Ruth is hearing, is she? Unlike today that we hear on television, you know, a wealth and health and wealth gospel, prosperity for all of God's followers and believers. I don't think Ruth was hearing any of that, nor was she buying into that. Ruth had absolute abandonment. And is there any aspect that she did not consider in following Naomi back to Bethlehem? She thought this through and through and counted the decision, what this decision would cost her. There was no wishy or washy faith in her decision. And yet some converts sometime of Jesus Christ fail to count the cost and ultimately fall away. And the Lord spoke about this in the book of Luke in chapter 14 when he said, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it?" I think sometimes we see that ourselves here in the Milwaukee area. There'll be construction projects going on, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they come to a complete halt. And you have unfinished strip malls, unfinished buildings. The tape is still on the windows. No landscaping is being done. But for whatever reason, the construction has stopped. Did someone underestimate the cost? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming to him who has 20,000 men? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask in terms of peace and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Naomi demonstrates great faith even when Yahweh takes all away from her. Even when she loses her husband and buries her two sons. Her name, she asked to be called Mara, which means bitter. But yet in her heart, she did not become bitter towards God. She continues to believe in him and to trust him. She feels that God has dealt her a bitter hand, and that her life has been unpleasant. Not only losing her husband and two sons, but the possibility of no children or grandchildren, no heritage. She was very poor at the time. She felt she was too old to remarry, and very little left of her life to look forward to. But yet she demonstrated great faith, even when all was taken from her, in contrast to Ruth, who gave up all that she had. Naomi is helpless in the face of God's irresistible power. She's not bitter. Yahweh is still her God, and she still trusts him, and she still draws near unto him. And Naomi's absolute abandonment to remain faithful when all has been taken away from you. to remain faithful when God is silent in answering why. Has that ever happened to you before, gentlemen? When you're asking God why and He remains silent? That's happened to me. Those are difficult times to go through, aren't they? When we suffer hardship and difficult circumstances come upon our lives. And we want to hear from the Lord in one way, shape, or form, and yet He remains silent. Ruth believed that by losing her life, that she would find it. And this is in Matthew 16, verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And Naomi believed that Yahweh is with you even when the hand of the Lord seems to be against you. When the hand of God seems to be against us, gentlemen, in our own individual lives, He is still with us. We just don't see His hand. I mean, God's invisible hand is behind the scene. We may not always just recognize it or realize it. Naomi believed as Job did. The Lord giveth and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then God believes that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 9. God also said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11, Jack's favorite verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in closing, gentlemen, I would just like to say, as Greg mentioned earlier, what is God doing in this scene with Naomi and Ruth? And, you know, as we read this years later, it's easier for us to see the invisible hand of God at work behind the scene, if you will, versus what Naomi and Ruth and Orpah were experiencing. And I know, as Greg mentioned, it's all safe to say that everyone in this room has suffered loss of some way, shape, or form, whether it's a mate or a loved one or a family member or even a marriage or jobs or finances. Everyone here in Faith Walkers has probably endured and suffered that loss at some point in our lives. And it's not easy to see sometimes, to endure that and to go through that when we do not see the hand of God. And the key point in all of this narrative, if you will, is that God is the main player. God is in control. And you've heard me say this before, that God is keenly aware of the details of our lives. And if you read the beginning part of chapter 2 in the book of Ruth, you'll see that, where she just happens to come into the field, which part of it is owned by Boaz. Just happens, coincidentally. I think that was the invisible hand of God. And let me just say this. When I came to Faith Walkers, I did not know any of you here. I just knew Lowell through his invitation to come. And the more I've gotten to know some of you men as friends, and I've heard your testimonies, and I've heard your stories of your lives, of what you've endured and what you've lost, you still have chose to follow God. You're still here this morning. And I want you to know that that is a blessing unto me and a blessing unto all the other faith walkers. When we hear of testimonies and stories of what everyone has endured, and yet you still choose to follow God, that is a blessing unto each and every one of us. And it does indirectly strengthen our faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you.